Blog Talk Radio.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There's nothing wrong. We are taking control as to bring you the special show. And we will return to you as soon as you are grooved. Welcome to station WEFUNK, better known as We Funk, or deeper still, the Mothership Connection, home of the extraterrestrial brothers, dealers of funky music, P-Funk, Uncut Funk, The Bomb. Coming to you directly from the Mothership, top of the chocolate Milky Way. 500,000 kilowatts of P-Funk power. So kick back, dig while we do it to you and your eardrum. With me, I'm known as Lollipop Man. Hell, it's a long head sucker. My motto is... L.A. Say! This is what I want y'all to do. If you got false defects or shortcomings like arthritis, rheumatism, or migraine, whatever part of your body it is, I want you to lay it on your radio. Let the vibes flow through. Funk not only moves, it can remove. Dig? The desired effect is what you get when you improve your interplanetary functionship. Say my department here, chocolate-coated freaking habit for me. Doing it to you in 3D. So groovy that I did, man. Welcome to our time call now. Somebody says that funk after dance. I said, standing up. LSA!
Welcome to African Conversations. Carl Williams. Tonight's feature, talk about the past year broadcast programming. Broadcast the plan to bring to you the direction of black radio programming and need in terms of uplifting. Inspirational information helps bring solutions. So, hang on, hang around, hang out. We'll be right back after these jams. We'll be right back. right, now we're having African Conversations 1 year review, and tonight we will discuss the year's past programs and the future of African Knowledge Network and programming. So y'all can come in if you ask me any questions about how we put this together and what inspires us to do it and keep doing it, you know. You can dial in at 323-580-5707. Have any questions or comments? Now just sit back and enjoy the music. Peace. Right, this is Charles again. I'd like to thank my producer, engineer, wife, Jolivet. Say hello, Jolivet.
Hello, Jolivet.
So we can tell everybody about how, or you can ask me about what my plans are.
Okay.
No, you don't know already.
Mm-mm, have no clue.
No freaking idea. What's going on in this big head of mine?
I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. So what's that? What do you have? You've done a year of conversations with Africans.
Yeah, mainly African men.
Yeah.
Because I think black men don't get enough shine for what we contribute intellectually in our society.
Mm-hmm.
I think only a very it's like I believe it's like a few men who get to become celebrities or they receive acknowledgement for their achievements in any kind of academic or research, any type of intellectual endeavor. And I want to showcase some other brothers' achievements and positive contributions to our society.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, even though I haven't broadcasted consistently, because we broadcast in seasons, I think it's very instrumental in terms of expanding the positive image, of black men and women too. Matter of fact, I think that even the black women that we've had on, one black woman, I think I've only had one.
Mm-hmm.
She was still involved in academic pursuit that most black women don't get so much shine for. And so she's a lecturer and professor in Koine Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of work that's done by our people needs to be acknowledged and discussed, because we need to know that we do that kind of work too.
Mm-hmm.
Think that just only the other people do that kind of work, and we just pretty much give a lot of commentary and talk about all our opinions if we're not working at a European institution, and all of our teachers are just expected to be just teaching just to collect a paycheck. That there aren't any people doing any kind of research, any altruistic purposes. They may not be making a lot of money or getting a whole lot of attention, but they're still inspired and motivated to move forward and do the kind of work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that is very good to be showcased.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly what we do on African Conversations. We showcase a lot of good information that a lot of people in our audience would not know about.
How do you feel that you, as a host of this type of venue and the type of lectures and scholars that you bring to showcase for the listeners, how do you feel that you have evolved as an individual, having had an opportunity to become exposed to this type of information on such an intimate level?
It's interesting. That's very, I have come in contact with these kinds of people throughout my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just considered that when I did, I didn't have I couldn't do anything with the experience, the context.
Mm-hmm.
But if you recall, that's how we started having authors and lectures on Woman Song.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know what, let's just go ahead and take it to another level. Let's just go ahead and get these people on the program.
Right.
And we started producing the program differently. We started reaching out. And we just started figuring out how to do it. And, you know, we didn't have any kind of mentor showing us. We just had to use our own wit and will. And the grace of the Most High made it happen for us.
Correct.
And we did it, and we just, I believe that we started having guests at the same time on both programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because African Conversations started having, we started shortly after Woman Song started having guests.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we put that together. And we decided to just, you know, go ahead and seal that in. Make that a part of, you know, what we do, which is try to get these people and their ideas attention. And it, I don't think it affected me a whole lot, because it wasn't like a lot of relationships. I didn't form I didn't communicate with people regularly so much. We correspond sometimes by email.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's interesting to have them to listen to me and I listen to them, and we, you know, interact just as human beings, and that I'm able to sometimes contribute to their perception of life in certain parts of America that they haven't been to. We live in the South, and some of them have never met someone from our neck of the woods.
That's right.
We're like the first people that they've ever met from Louisiana, Northern Louisiana, something like that. They're like, it's quite strange. I don't want to say impressive, because it's sad that people from where I'm from haven't been, I would say, dynamic largely.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a preacher here in town, C.L. Bryant. He's doing a movie. He's done a movie. I'm sorry. He's going nationwide. This C.L. Bryant got a movie called Runaway Slave, and people may, you know, joke about that he's getting funded from the GOP. But he's a local celebrity now. Have produced a feature documentary that has put this place in the national forefront again.
All right.
And I mean, a lot of people in our community won't get a chance to hear him or look at what he's done. I haven't even seen his film. But the point is that people in our part of the country are doing things that are impactful in a positive way on some level. And I think that, you know, it's a shame that, you know, we haven't, you know, I would say, demonstrated our activity, black people in this part of the country, and in particular my city, my region, you know, haven't really made any waves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing attention to certain issues, pointing out our peculiar point of view. And our point of view, the way we see, you know, events and whatnot, needs to be seen, like, you know. And that's, I think that's what I've been able to do, and I think I've been humbled. I think I've still maintained my humility. I think I'm some, you know, big shot or nothing. I think you know that.
Yeah, I guess so. You're the one that mentioned at the top of the show about the size of your head.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have the. A big head is natural. I didn't figure of speech. No idiomatic English here.
Right. I'm just teasing. Okay, so the next question, I guess, is regarding each of the guests. And before, when I was speaking about how you would have been impacted, I was talking very specifically about the information, not about having come in contact with these people. But on that line of thinking, who would you say is your favorite guest that you've had on African Conversations?
I'm going to say I don't have one. Okay, the most, I'm going to say Scott Whitaker. I think I enjoyed talking with Scott the most. Between Scott and Randall Kennedy, was my, you know, I would say Scott, though. Scott number one, Randall, Dr. Kennedy number two, and, you know, and a few others, but I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, because they're more relaxed, they're more, you know, they, there's others. Umar's great. I never did get a chance to talk to him but a few times, but too. I think, really, I like them all a lot. But Che was awesome. Sam Reynolds was cool, too. I can't think of, they all were wonderful.
That's what it sounds like.
But Scott was just more accessible. He'll come on, you know, anytime. He's able, you know. I he's just more accommodating. Let me just say that. And I can't say that I've tried to get in, but I can't say, you know, other people aren't as accommodating, because I haven't asked them, to harass. I haven't harassed Scott, but, you know, Scott just be like, hey, you know, just let me know when you're ready to go, I'm there, you know. And we just work it out real quick, but, I mean, Che was pretty, he was real accommodating like that too. But I hadn't talked to him in a while. But all of them were really great. It's really who was least accommodating.
Right.
That's where we really get to. Who tried to bust?
Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah, that's exactly on the spot. So it's really, everybody was great.
There you go.
Everybody was great.
I have no favorite because they were all perfect.
But there was a couple who were less friendly.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Chris Jasper was awesome. Everybody was good. I'm trying to think who else I can tell. Oh, Dr. Lyle, Professor Lyle was real great. Everybody that came out of our conversations was awesome. And there were just a couple who were less than accommodating, who I would say, you know, they did the program, they cooperated, but you know it was like marginal, like they were not that comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can say. They weren't really comfortable. I tried a lot, to make them, you know, feel like, hey, you know, just I think they weren't really expecting that there would be a revival or any more interest in what they talking about, you know. I've met some other people on, you know, authors and whatnot, researchers I correspond with, I noticed that they are almost shocked that, like, you want to talk to me, really? I'm like, yes. Nobody, you know, ain't nobody interested in talking. Well, you must be joking, you know. Because, you know, they don't get that much attention. They're not getting phone calls. They're just a little skeptical. Somebody will ask them about their book. Their book's been out 5-10 years. Nobody probably haven't done an interview at all about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've looked for, you know, I look for interviews. I do a little, you know, research about the these researchers' work before I get them on the program. I'm likely the first person to ever contact them about that project, especially in a podcast, you know, situation. They may have done some university radio, and they haven't done much since, you know.
Right.
It keeps them, they're a little taken aback by it. Some of them are flattered. They're like, well, hey, yeah, I would love to talk about that, but they still have their fire burning subject. You know, some others really have given up on trying to reach people about that. Skeptical.
Right. So where do you see yourself going from here? How do you hope to, you know, further express the vision that you have for this particular show in the future, going forward?
Well, I intend to continue to ferret out more of our scholars and researchers and bloggers to continue to introduce the great wealth of intellectual talent in our community, so we can build confidence in our own intellectual abilities,
intellectual
power. So we don't have to think that we don't produce philosophers, we don't produce scientists and mathematicians that work for the benefit of black people. And I want to demonstrate that that is not true. That we do have philosophers and scientists and educators and authors that want to improve our life, our understanding of our situation, and the way we see our future and our past.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are able to accept that and understand it, then we can develop the kind of confidence that can enable us to compress. I mean, come closer together, depend on one another, trust one another, and understand that we don't need an external controls. We can control our destiny from within, and not without. And without, I mean, not in spiritual terms. I mean, in terms of relating to other people.
Right.
And so we don't need to rely on other people, that is, outsiders, to provide us with the motivation and the inspiration to achieve our greatest potential.
Gotcha. Are there any guests that you have in mind that you'd like to have on?
Oh, yeah. I'm working with a
sneak. Give us a sneak peek. What do you have in store for?
Ezra Aharon. He's a blogger, and he's an author. He has two books. His latest book is Sovereign Evolution, where he discusses an economic plan that can help us develop sovereignty in our captivity and in Africa. He's done some research in Africa. We're going to have him on the program in August. We're working on looking at having Dr. James Cone on in the autumn. He agreed to do a program with us. He's the author of Black Liberation Theology. He's a professor of systematic theology at Union Theological Seminary in New York. And his latest book is titled The Cross and Lynching Tree. And hope when we are able to schedule a date and time, we're going to have a really awesome program. That is going to be, I think, the program of the fall, this season, that season. the fall season is going. It's going to be hard to top that. And Dr. Cone is a firecracker. He's awesome. He's on fire. He's motivated. He's articulate and extremely smart. And I mean, all of our guests are extremely smart. Let me just say that by the way. But I'm just saying he's been in this, working on these things, you know, very intensely for a long time, and he's still at it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he published his first book 6 and 9, and many of these authors that we talked to weren't publishing and writing back then. So he's still writing and publishing. He's still at it. So it's not that I'm trying to say the other guys aren't good. They just weren't maybe conscious or maybe, you know, in doing the kind of work that they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, over 20 years or 30, 40. This guy's been doing it for 42, 3 years. So he put his work in on that.
Ultimately, what do you think your goal is for African Conversations? Do you hope to see, you know, more of these types of people come onto the show and, you know, in infinitum, or do you hope to amass a certain amount of information with the lecturers contributing, and then, you know, do you see yourself moving on to other projects?
I can speak to this going on infinitum. Just going on, just keep talking as these generations of researchers pass on, and as new ones are stepping on the stage, stepping on the scene. I want to keep presenting them, saying that we create them, and we're still creating, we're still making great leaders, great intellects, great minds are still coming out of our community. And I wanna always showcase that we're not still having to complain about buffoonery constantly. We can ignore the buffoonery.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to do. I mean, we should focus on some of it some time ago when we were doing our cultural analysis in the maybe back 2010, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it came to a point that we started saying, let's just ignore them, pretend that they don't exist. And that's a good plan, I think. If we just stop looking at them, they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And let's create more attention on all the positivity that's going on. Let's ignore the negative people bringing negative attention to black people, African peoples. And then we can change our self-perception. We can create reasons for positive self-image.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't see all that negative self-imagery that reinforces the self-hatred. But they see some positive images and positive audio and hear positive messages about, hey, you know, we can do this. We can, you know, be the best, and we don't have to sell out to be, you know, important or be relevant or significant. We can do good work. We can spend our time and do long-range, arduous projects without being sponsored by a European.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we need our people to support us.
Right.
We need to tell our people, you need to throw your support over in these kinds of projects.
Right.
And not, you know, and complain about all the people that you hate. Not to say, we all complain and we all get sick of those people. But when you do that, you also need to, you know, balance that out and look at some of the things that you do like about black people. Talk about some things that you do enjoy, that you do find fulfillment and positivity, and things that make you feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any person who focuses his time on everything that he hates about black society and black culture, African captive culture, is just doing himself. They're doing themselves in.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, that's gonna change. That's gonna change the perception of our people, self-perception of our people. We have to look at ourselves in a better better perspective. And that's why I not any of the shows that we do focuses on my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Even Beyond the Book doesn't focus on my opinions. Yeah, we as a group analyze the material. But hell, I can give discourse and commentary to the school, but it's not me. I'm not the focus though. The book is the star.
That's correct.
The book is the star. The guest that come on African Conversation is the star. The word that we're analyzing on African Aramean scriptures is the star celebrity. It's never me. You know, I'm merely the MC. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's really the secret.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a music break right now. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey. What's happening? Oh, man, I got bounces.
Where were you going last night with that foot tonight?
I told that woman I was going to tell her.
What's wrong with you? You got trenches on.
Oh, man, I ain't got no money. I'm walking bare.
Put it on.
You
got a whole lot of things happening with me.
Sure. Now, in my bed, there is understanding now, not with her butt
alone, the feeling seat.
Right. I have to do what I got to. I ain't got to. She got big and please, but no feeling woman to make love to me. Yeah, I guess I told her.
Well, Welcome to AfricanImpressions.com. African Impressions is a black-owned business that offers products made by the global African community. African Impressions offers the finest in African-made jewelry, craft, clothing, and so much more. As the renaissance of the African community rapidly approaches, you need to add acquiring products crafted by members of the global African family to your repertoire of activities. We must rediscover more of our ancient cultural habits, which we struggle to regain, and incorporate them into our daily lives. Support African craftsmen and women by shopping at AfricanImpressions.com today. Hope to see you there.
Join the Woman's Song Community Experience every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. We will do the thing that many think cannot be done.
Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
at times, they asked me, where was I going, you know? So I said, well, you have to be reasonable. You know, I've never been away from home before. And besides, they gave me a good deal. And I think that Bunker Delta is, you know, a nation that, you know, I would like to live in.
Thank you.
All right, and we're back. Y'all enjoyed those sweet jams. Blast from the past. It's been real. So what's up, Jove?
I had a couple more questions, if you have time. I know we're running out of time.
Yes, we are. Up what you got?
Well, I was wondering about before you left for the break, you were talking about some of your other shows on the AK Network. So maybe if you could take a minute and explain what the African Knowledge Network is, how you started that, and then the second part of that question was maybe to talk about some of the other projects that you have on the AK Network.
Okay. Let's see. So the programs and their corresponding projects. Is that what you're saying?
Right. And also, how did the AK Network get started?
Oh, that's a very interesting, fun story. Very happy conclusion. Okay. AK Network got started sometime back in 2010. That I do know. Not the network, but the thank you, that's what you asked me about, how the whole concept all...
Right, just all from the start, yeah.
Okay. And I basically, yeah, I put together a think tank of African intellectuals, African-American intellectuals who are interested in the dissolution of white supremacy. And We talked about various ideas, concepts, and philosophies on the nature of white supremacy and what we would have to become as a community in order to see its conclusion and to resolve these, the kind of everything that we would need to become as a people, and how we can actually transform this vision. We talked about how possible and doable it was and what steps that we missed there. So, and we created, I conceived and the people that I brought into it, we all created that, the dialogue in the community. So we created the various forums that spoke to various issues that needed to be addressed, like military science, economics, and education, performing arts, and we created these little communities, and we kept trying to find new people who were interested in these issues. It was largely successful, and all of those groups are still functioning. I'm active in very few of them now because of just time and energy demands. I just don't need to be distracted with networking at that level. But so during that process, we came out with the book club idea in the early stages, and we advanced it with a Facebook page in order to branch outside of our network, to new people, wanted a more powerful propaganda tool. So it was you and I decided to take it to BT or Internet Radio Podcasting. It was sometime around it was after the creation of Woman's Song program, and we decided to bring the book club to the radio and read the books on air. So that wasn't the first program. First from African Conversations, but. And so we decided to bring some of these authors on, and then the book club shortly followed. It wasn't long after the creation of African Conversations that the book club was. So I think it may even be like within a month of one another.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long for the book club to follow AC. And And so we started doing it, and there was some, I would say, inactivity in the new level of propaganda. I think the members was very embroiled into the discussion in the clique, and I think they really wanted to meet or bring a whole lot of new people in. They liked the people that they met, and they were pretty, you know, tight-knit group, and pretty much just wanted to stay within that. So you and I basically branched out more. We became proselytizers, evangelists, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for our more aggressive approach in sharing our message to those who are less likely to have heard it or even understand it. And that's when we did with Woman Song and African Knowledge Network.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these other projects that I already had with other groups, like African American Scriptures, was from one of the groups who, that group was designed to gather, collect, meet, network with other people who studied biblical languages. To discuss our development, our learning in those languages, allegedly those dead languages, as well as the text and manuscripts, in order to, and someday, in some way, to create a critical text of the Hebrew, Aramaic writings, Israelite writings, as well as reviving a new, or creating a new dialect of Hebrew and Aramaic. And so, I mean, that's how the show African American Scriptures Project was developed, in order to not only get the message out even further than the group was able to. The group was just too slow, couldn't do it. And once everybody got in, it was tightening, they weren't studying at that level where they were out meeting people who shared the same interests. So, you know, there came the need to reach out further, to try to get our message out further than the people within my network, to just find those that just were just too difficult to run across through ordinary internet networking means. So we had to go to social media radio networking. That's what BTR is. And it has proven largely successful in terms of gaining an audience, but not successful in terms of me being able to meet black students of these languages that want to work with other black students in order to create what I desire to be, to see manifested. And that part has not yet come to fruition. So we're still patiently waiting for that to materialize.
Mm-hmm.
And then we developed into the Tribal Family, was a spinoff from the Woman Song community and African Knowledge Network. That's the baby of the two. And it focuses on, you know, the black family and the spirituality of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But the two programs, Tabar Teshuvah and Love and Black. Love and Black needed to go on hiatus in order to develop a new philosophy, a new approach, that program, and to prepare it in a new way that we that currently aren't able to fully produce. We just know that the way we did it, though it was successful, we don't want to do that anymore. So we're not just doing things just because people like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point. Just because we can get an audience. The point is to make sure that we communicate what it is we're developing into that, which whatever it is that we're projecting toward. Are we articulating that message properly? Are we creating that which we set out to create? and we don't want to sit out to do one thing and accomplish another. And we saw that happening with that particular program, Love in Black. And so we needed to stay home so we can grow, you know, be developed, be nurtured a little more. So that's why it will come back. It's going to come back in a way that it's going to teach on a different level. But we're preparing for its return. And so I think those are the programs I have on AK Network. African American Scriptures Project, African Conversations, and African Knowledge Beyond the Book.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the Book, I don't see no end to that program. There are so many great books to survey and discussions to have. I really don't see no end in sight. African American Scriptures Project, no end in sight. I can see that developing onward, and as well as African Conversations, the flagship program, main one. There could be an end. Yeah, I mean, if there are no more black intellectuals that want to discuss their work, that support black liberation and black improved black understanding of African black life, then yeah, that program could end. Nobody want to talk about their work anymore. Internet podcasting went away. You know, but as long as people are doing things worth talking about and they want to come on and talk about doing them, well, yes, it'll be on. So, right.
Mm-hmm. And you spoke a little bit about Love in Black and the sister network, the Tribal Family, which happens to be a part of our work that's very near and dear to me. And your input, of course, is immeasurable, and it would not be what it is without you. So if you could share a little bit about what you do over there.
Okay, what it is that I do. I do the same thing I do over there. We produce the program. We sit around and discuss that. Okay, we have a Debar Teshuva, which means a matter or word of repentance, or matter or word of return, translated that way, Hebrew phrase. And what we're doing is we're taking the time to understand Aramaic, Hebrew, Israelite writing. And we're returning to them. We're giving them another look. We're giving them a real look. We're going back to them. We're going to understand them. And that's the matter of the word debar. It's a thing that matters. It's analogous to the word logos in Greek. That's the cognate word, which means to reason, to understand it. So we're going to understand. We're going to understand that we need to return. That's a very heavily conceptual program. I don't think people really understand, gotta know about the language well enough to really get that. But it's that we're going to understand our return this in this go round, because we're going to make sure you understand not only why you should and when it's possible for you to do it, which is always now. And that's the nature of that program. We, in which, you know, you're going to discover your blackness in the Hebrew writings right there. It has been obscured, hidden, and denied most people. And so it's revealed over there on that program. And Love in Black is, you know, a program that features, that promotes marriage for black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Speaks to the black heart, the black condition, black problems, That's what it's about as we grow to understand our situation and to actually encourage people who are seeking marriage and people who are maybe already married to understand their marriages better. Understand their struggle better. Because they do have to struggle. Like I said, if you ain't struggling, ain't that doing nothing. Not growing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no struggle, there's no growth. No fight, there's no... Nothing's happening. I mean, they drift. So that's what the programs on the Bible Family Network that use. They're both a family oriented. So you have the spirituality, and you got just the just trying to understand how to apply that spirituality, which Love in Black is designed to do, which should help you strengthen your family. If that's on the Tribal Family Network.
I want to say that I am so very excited for you and looking at all that you have done and all that you hope to do. I think is most commendable, and it makes me feel really, really good to know that I am a part of your life, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to continue to see you, you know, flourish and develop these programs and express yourself in line with your mission, which is to bring the good news of who we are and our capabilities, and then ultimately to see our victory. I am honored to be a part of that process with you. I just want to say thank you that you are someone who's not just talking about it. You're really doing the damn thing. So
you're welcome.
To you, cutie.
You're welcome. And I'm going to say thank you because you have always encouraged me doing what I would say helps me to become a better person. And you have been supportive of me and all of my aspirations. And I want to say, I couldn't be who I am without you.
Aww. That's so sweet.
And it is my honor to be your husband.
That is so sweet and mushy. Thank you, Daddy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Am I right?
So I think we'll just conclude the program here.
Okay.
And I believe everybody will get a chance to, when they listen to this program, they will get a chance to get a better idea of what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be encouraging to them. That, you know, we're not just, you know, bringing people on just to pass the time. You know, so we're here to actually perform a cultural, social duty.
That's right.
Right. And we hope that they would participate and by taking this information and applying it to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And their lives of their families where you know, where necessary. And that's what I would like to see done with these programs, is to properly apply the material that they that we present. All right, and that's all for tonight. And that's the year in review, and that's the year in preview.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We like to consider the State of the Union of African knowledge.
Exactly. State of the Union. There we go.
All right.
That is it.
All right. Well, good night, folks. And Layla Tov.
Layla Tov. Shalom.
Shalom.